Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you all today. My name is Patrick Bicknell. I am the location pastor here in Walled Lake, and I personally want to welcome everyone. I see a lot of new faces, but faces I met yesterday at Trunk or Treat, and so just so thankful that you've decided to gather with us again and that we had an opportunity to love you and to love your family, and I hope your children love all the candy that we gave them. I'm sorry if they were a little bit crazy for you yesterday, eating all that candy they had, but we are so thankful to be able to be a light in our community. And we genuinely want you to know that we are a church that is here to love you because God loves you. And so just so thankful to have you here this morning. And please, if you are new, if you are looking for a church, if you are looking for people to be gathered with, to find hope and peace and love and joy, we want to be a church that's here for you. And so just so thankful that you're here today. But yesterday, we had our Trunk or Treat. It was an incredible, incredible event. Here in Walled Lake, we had over 200 guests that were with us, that got to hear the gospel, that got to see the love of Christ lived out. And as here at the River Church, we believe we are one church but multiple locations. And across all of our locations, we had close to 3,000 guests show up and hear the gospel and see the love of Christ lived out. And so I want that to encourage you, church, that we are a part of something so, so amazing that is going on, that the Lord is doing. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of this church and to see all these things happen. And I want to encourage you that we had that reach opportunity yesterday with Trunk or Treat. We have another opportunity at Halloween when trick-or-treating is going on. There are these takeaways that are out in the lobby at guest services desk. They are an invite to one of our locations. And they're for new people that if they bring this back, they'll get another free toy and they get to hear the good news of Jesus on the back of it. So if you plan on handing out candy this year, if you just leave out a bowl and leave out these takeaways, this is an awesome opportunity for us to reach people. So they're in the lobby at guest services desk. I would encourage you, grab some of these and hand them out this year for Halloween. But let's pray and then we'll dive into our word this morning. So Lord, we love you. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. I pray that you would bless this gathering, help us to worship you, and Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me. We pray that your Spirit would penetrate our hearts, help us to see the truth of your gospel, and to follow you this morning. So God, we love you, we praise you, and pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we are going to be in Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 12. If not, it'll be on the screen so you can follow along with us. As a church, we are studying through the book of Romans. It is a letter that Paul has addressed to the church of Rome, and it is an incredible book. It's where true gospel is laid out and declared to us. And we are moving on in Romans chapter 12, so we're going to be in verse number 3. And it reads this. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So continuing looking at the practical applications of chapters 1 through 11. Now in Romans chapters 1 through 11, we shared last week, as we've been seeing as a church, it is clear gospel truth that Paul has been laying out for us. And the change here in Romans is focusing on how do we put that into practice in our life? How do we live that out as followers of Jesus? And so we saw at the beginning of chapter 12 last week how all of us need to be transformed rather than conformed. That we need to take seriously our personal walks with the Lord in order for us to truly be changed. And how now we are moving into how we as the church, as the body of Christ, need to function. But now we do need to make it clear that when we talk about the church, when we say things like the body of Christ, what are we talking about? Because we can really easily misconstrue what those terms mean. Now when we say the church, I want you to know we're not talking about this building. We're not talking about the River R. We're not talking about a logo. We are talking about a group of people. The church is those who believe in Jesus Christ. We are the church. We are the collective body of Jesus. that no matter if we're in tents or if we have no building or if we're out in that field behind us, if we are worshiping Jesus and we following the gospel, we are the church. It is those whom Jesus has suffered for. That Jesus came to the world and lived perfectly for us, died the death we were supposed to die, and rose again. If you put your faith in Jesus, then you are now part of the church, the body of Christ. Now, in this section, as we started in verse 3, it's talking about how the church is supposed to behave. How the group of believers, how are we supposed to function, relate to one another, what our roles are, how we exercise those roles. It is how we as the church live. And Paul in this section begins with one of the most important mindsets that we need to have. As we get a group of believers together from different races, wealth backgrounds, areas, how are we supposed to behave? What's our mindset? One of the most important mindsets to have is humility. And that's what verse 3 is talking about. Because how humble we are, how truly humble we are, will directly impact how we function in the body of Christ. It will directly impact how we view other people, how we think about them, how we love them. And I think it's so important for us to start there, to start with humility, because there have been so many churches, so-called churches, so-called pastors, that have failed to be what the church is supposed to be, that have failed to live with the humility that the Bible is calling us to have. And what that leads to is what we've seen from many people who have gone to church. Church hurt, church dysfunction, and disunity. These issues, these sad marks on the church, they stem from the root of pridefulness. It stems from a heart that is not humble, that is not living out what verse 3 says. It comes from people who think they are the center of the universe and that the only thing that matters is how it affects them. What good things are they doing? How can I be seen by everyone in the church? I am better than other people. This sort of church hurt and disunity stems from that pridefulness. It makes me think about a parable that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 18. It's a parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. I think Jesus teaches this principle of humility. Now, in this parable, it's just a story that Jesus gives to share a point. And the Pharisee that he's going to describe is a religious person, someone who goes to church, who knows the rules. And the tax collector represents those who are cast off, those who are considered sinners. And Jesus says this, Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, the one man, as we saw in the story, he made sure everyone heard what he was doing. He stood right in the front row here, and he prayed to God, and he said, God, thank you for making me so great. I am so glad I am better than these other people. I fast, I tithe, I do everything in the church. I am important. Yet the man with a humble spirit, who knew who he was, stood in the back. And he just beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because he knew the only way he could stand before God, the only way he could receive mercy is because God gives it. He knew he wasn't owing of it. He knew he didn't deserve it, but he knew God could give it because God is good. This is the humble spirit we need to have. This is what Paul is telling us to live with here in verse 3. And if we fail to think this way, if we start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, what will naturally occur through our pridefulness is church hurt, dysfunction, and disunity. And that's why Paul made sure last week in verses 1 through 2, he tells everyone, if you believe in Jesus, if you receive the mercies of God, make yourself a living sacrifice. He says continually, every day, surrender yourself to God. Draw closer to him. Make your life a living sacrifice for him. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind through the power of the Spirit, because that is the only way we will be able to have true humility. It is when we personally, when we're not here Sunday mornings, when we're not at a Bible study, it is when you in your house by yourself are going to God and ask him, Lord, change me, make me more like yourself, being transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is when the humble spirit will be built up in you. And what it will lead to, the closer that we grow to God, the closer that we grow to him, the more we understand just how far from him we truly are. And it makes us see, and it makes us to have a greater dependence upon him and his grace. Because the more you learn of God, and the more we learn about ourselves, how truly fallen we are, it leads us to see how dependent we are upon him in every moment. This sort of transforming is the only way to build up humility in us. And I think Paul puts this in a unique way in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. What a way of saying that. Paul says, I worked hard. In fact, I worked harder than all of them. Now, we had just spent the last 10 minutes talking about humility. How is that a humble spirit? Right? He acknowledges it. I've worked hard. And if you go through Paul's life, he's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's been rejected. He's been shipwrecked. He's done it all just to preach the gospel. And he acknowledges, I have worked hard. In fact, if the world was viewing all of us, they would consider me working harder than all of them. But what does he say why it happened? It was not I. It was the grace of God with me. And he's giving us a glimpse into what this humble spirit looks lived out. He understands that if the Lord wasn't with him in every moment, if it wasn't the grace of God in his life, then he would be unable to do all that he did. Then the work would have been for nothing. But in fact, the only reason he could work so hard was because God's grace was with him. The closer he grew to God, the more he understood how much he needed him. That is what caused him to have a humble spirit. And to write in Romans 12:3, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It increased his love for people. Now, this idea of having a humble spirit naturally leads into the next few verses. So to go back to Romans 12. In verse 4, to keep reading in this section, he says, for as in one body We have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another. What I think verse 3 gives to us, and then in these few verses about the church, the body of Christ, humility breeds unity. The more that we are humbled, the more that we have this humble spirit, the more we begin to view others with love. And what it happens is it causes us to be united with one another. And even if we just keep the track of Romans 12, the more that we are transformed, the more we understand how dependent we are upon God, it leads us to be humble, to know that I'm only here because of God. I'm not here because I've done enough good works. I'm not doing this. I'm not in this church. I'm not where I am today because I'm such a good person. The only reason I'm here is because God has been merciful. And that humility leads to unity. And it causes us to see that none of us are better than the other. No matter how long you've been following the Lord, or if you start following the Lord this morning, none of us are better than the other. That we all need each other to function as the body of Christ. That's the thought he's putting forward for us here. And we see this truth said in another way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's another section of scripture that talks about the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, he says this. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Now, I love the way that he puts this description of the body here. Because he says, even if the eye should say, because I am not an ear, I'm not a part of the body. He says that would not make it any less part of the body. Even if there's this misconception in our head, or there's this lie that the enemy is trying to tell you, or your own self-esteem is trying to tell you, even if you think, man, I'm not as good as that other person. I don't got the gifts. I don't got the ability to help out in the body. Even if you think that, it doesn't make you any less part of the body. Even if there's this false thought going on in your head, that doesn't remove you from the body of Christ. You might be having those false thoughts, but the truth matters. And the only thing you have to ask yourself, if you start thinking that way, right? Maybe you're new to the church. Maybe you've just recently started following Jesus, and you start to think, man, I don't got something to provide. I don't got a way to help people. I don't got a way to love people. The only question you have to ask yourself is this. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Do you believe the gospel? And when we say the gospel, I want us to be abundantly clear. When we mention the gospel here, which we will preach every single week, it's the truth that every single one of us, no matter where we are at or where we've come from, we are sinners who have rebelled against God. We have hurt people, we have lied, we have cheated, we have rejected God and his ways. And because of that, all of us are deserving of an eternal punishment. But God loved us so much. But he looked at all of you, he looked at the whole world with love and said, I am going to send my son. And he is going to do the work for us. He's going to live perfectly. He's going to die on the cross for our sins. And he's going to rise again. And now all that we need to do is not show up to church enough, go to enough Bible studies, do enough good things. All we need to do is receive the gift of grace. Repent of our sins and believe in him. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And please hear me. I don't care if you hear nothing else this morning. If you have not done that, this morning your life can change forever. And we talk about giving gifts to the kids in kids' church. You can receive the best gift this morning. You can receive the best thing that will ever happen to you because Jesus loved you that much. And all you got to do, Lord, I'm yours. If you do that, guess what? You are now part of the body. And it doesn't matter what lies are said to you from people or lies you may be saying to yourself. You are part of the body. And the reason why humility was so important to start with is because since there's going to be differing functions, right? There's going to be differing roles within the body. When that happens, naturally people will put one thing over another. And sadly, that's due to our sinful nature and the fallenness of mankind. And let's be real. What are the things that people always put as the most important in church? The preacher. The pastor. It's those who preach from the stage. Man, he's the most important. What he does is higher than everyone else. We're just down here. We need to put the pastor on a pedestal. And I'll say, the preaching is incredibly important. It is very valuable. And we here at the River Church take it very seriously. That whoever's going to preach is going to preach the gospel and preach the truth of the word in its entirety. However, when it comes to the body, when it comes to building up the body, the preaching is not the only or the best thing. It's not the only thing that's needed. It's an important function, but it's not the only thing that is needed for the body to function. Every gift and every person is necessary. Now, what am I meant to do as the pastor? Am I meant to run this thing on my own? Absolutely not. Because if I'm going to be real with you, 99% of the things that go on here, I'm not good at. I'm not good at organizing things. And or maybe cleaning up or setting things up or even teaching kids. When I was in Waterford, I told Mitchell, the children's pastor, I said, you got 1 week for me to help teach kids. And that's VBS. I love them. People who have that gift, more power to them. I can't do it. I'm not good at it. You don't want me doing some of the stuff around here if you want it to be good. But what am I meant to do? Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I am here and placed in this position to lead and equip you, the saints. We are all the saints. If you believe in Jesus, you are the saints. And what I am meant to do is to equip you to be what God has called you to be. To use the gift that God has given to you to build up the body and to glorify him. And the common thought is the pastor does the work of the ministry. He's the one that the staff members who get paid for it, they're the ones who do the work of the ministry. But that's not the truth, as we see in the scriptures. It is the saints. If you are a believer, if you are a part of the body, it is all of us who do the work of the ministry. And as we see in these verses, we cannot all be eyes. We can't all be ears, noses. Some of us got to be big toes. We all have differing functions. But that's where the humility comes in. Because just because it's different doesn't make it better or more important. The Lord has placed and gifted each person where you are because you're meant to build up the body. Now in verse 6, we see how he tells us to do that. Romans 12:6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, what I love about this text is the certainty in Paul's words. Because he doesn't say, if you have been gifted, use your gifts. If you are someone who's skilled enough, then use your gifts in the body. But rather, he says, having gifts, having been given gifts, because you have been gifted, use your gifts. That's the truth. Every single one of us, if we believe on Jesus, if we're a part of the body, every single one of us has a gift that needs to be used. And too many people think that they don't have something to offer to the body. Maybe for you, it's been a selfish, prideful pastor that's made you think that. Maybe it was someone who was meant to build you up that made you think that and tore you down. Maybe it's been your own self-esteem that you tell yourself you're not good enough, you don't have something to offer. Let me tell you what the scripture says about your gifts. Use them. If you're part of the body, use the gifts that God has given to you. And the list of gifts here that Paul is saying, they're not an exhaustive list. These 5-6 things aren't the only things we can do. But rather, he's just representing things. He's saying, however the Lord has wired you, whatever your desire is, whatever you have a burden for, whatever your interest is, however you can help, use your gift in the church. If you've been burdened to preach and be a pastor one day, come and talk to me. We'll help you figure out how to use that. If you don't ever desire to be in front of people or be on the stage and you just want to serve, you just want to help the building and be a good steward of what God has blessed us with, we'll get you connected with who can help you use that. Whatever your gifting is, use it. Now, what I want to do here in Walnut Lake is I want us to make a culture that represents these principles. I want us to have a culture here in Walnut Lake where we believe and we live out that everyone is needed, that every gifting is necessary for the function of the body. I don't want us to be like 95% of other churches in the world, where it's a few people doing much of the work. I want us to be a church where everyone is welcomed and encouraged to use their gifts because we need everyone. And I get it. For some of you, it's hard to get here early Sunday mornings because you have little ones running around. I know that's difficult. I know it can be difficult to set aside nights of the week to teach kids in Awana or teach kids and students when life is already so busy. I know it's hard to maybe lay down your finances or a larger portion of it to be able to give to those who are needy and to put you in a place where you're vulnerable to trust in the Lord to provide for you to keep giving that way. For some of you, you might have even been taken advantage of before by a volunteer, as a volunteer, and your time was taken for granted and you were hurt. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, that's you. I am sorry. However, if we are going to be the church as the Bible calls us to be, if we truly want to see lives changed here, if we want to see our location in Walnut Lake grow spiritually and numerically, then all of us need to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been following the Lord, or if you start following the Lord this morning, every single one of us are needed to make the body function as the body is supposed to. We need to use our gifts. Now, this past Sunday, last week, I was really blessed by two different things that happened. And I want to share them with you, and I hope it encourages you being here in Walled Lake. Because I believe both the things that happened fulfilled how we are called to be as the church in these verses. The first thing that happened, maybe you don't know, or some of you do, there's been a lady that's been faithfully serving in the church and serving in the nursery and loving kids and family. But she's been doing it by herself for a long, long time. And I remember when I first got here in the beginning of June, her and some of the kids volunteers were like, "We need some help in the nursery. Can you please help us find some people?" And she's been serving sometimes, people would step up, but sometimes by herself, serving in the nursery for months. And she hasn't been able to sit in the gathering. But this past Sunday, there was someone who recently started attending the church. Her family started getting connected. Her kids are part of the Awana and Kids Church. And she saw a need, and she used her gift to help out. She said, "I can help on a Sunday morning to serve in the nursery. I can go back there, and I can love those kids for an hour and a half so that that lady can finally sit in a gathering where she can be encouraged, where she can worship the Lord, she can hear the preaching, sit with her friends." And I got to say, it blessed my heart so much as the pastor to see that. Because here's someone who started, who got connected with the church back in July, and she said, "You know what, I'm going to fill a need." And that need blessed someone else, and that need blessed other families in the church. It was so happy to see that. And then after the gathering, this past week, there was a young man who came up to me, and he said, hearing about Trunk or Treat, he goes, "Hey, I just bought a car. Can I help serve a trunk? Can I be a trunk for you guys?" Right, we announced it, said we needed some help. He's like, "I just bought a car. Can I be a part of that?" And I got to say, as a high schooler, he could have been doing what I was doing as a high school kid with a new car, hanging out with my friends and being dumb. Maybe many of us did that, right? Doing things we probably didn't want our parents to know. But he decided, "You know what? I have time. I have availability. I can help the church reach families in this community." He saw the need. He stepped up to be a part of the work. Church, this is what we are meant to do. These two things that happened last week, they blessed my heart so much. Because there was two people who said, "You know what? I got gifting. I got time. I got availability. I want to help build up the church." It was so amazing. But passivity, the mentality of someone else will do it, or the thoughts, "I don't have the time or the gifts to help." We need to fight against this way of thinking. We as a church need to fight against these attitudes because they only hinder us doing the work of the gospel here in Walled Lake. We need to fight against these things. So I want you to ask yourself, where can you help out? Because if you would say you are a believer, that Jesus is your Lord, that you have surrendered and put your faith in the gospel, then you have a gift and you have something to provide to the body that all of us desperately need. All of us need it to be built up, to be encouraged, to function as the body. And I'll say this, I know we still need more help serving in the nursery. Can you give one Sunday a month to be in a rotation to bless families and to teach their kids about Jesus? I know we need help serving on guest services. Can you give a couple Sundays a month to make sure the coffee's ready, or to greet people with a smile, or to be someone who can pray with people? Can you give that? I know we need help in kids' church on Sundays and Wednesday nights. Can you set aside some of your time to teach kids the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need help in students. We need help in baby pantry. We need help everywhere. We need all of us to be using our gifts. Can you help out somewhere? Can you set aside some of your time? Because it's necessary. Maybe for you, maybe it's not part of the regular programming. Maybe you just have a burden to pray for the church. Can you get together with people weekly and set aside time to pray? I know these are big asks, but we all have gifts. And everyone is needed to build up the body. If we're going to create a culture here where all of us get in on the work, where we see a need and say, you know what, I can help fill that. Where we see the work of the gospel that's going on and say, I want to be a part of that. I don't want it to just be a few people. I don't want it to just be the pastor or the staff. I want it to be us together, the body. If we want to create a culture to do that, then we need to see a need and fill the need. Let us not continue to hold back our gifts. Let us use our gifts to build up the body. So my challenge to you is this. We mentioned some of the areas our church needs help in. Guest services, kids' church, students, baby pantry, Awana, worship. And if you want to sing or help out with tech, we need help everywhere. Cleaning the building, caring for the building. My challenge for you is this. Don't let this feeling where you can help leave you today. After the gathering, go to those people. We're going to have Shannon and Tracy out by guest services. If you want to just be a smile to people as they walk in and greet people, go and talk to them. If you think, you know what, I can be with some crazy kids for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, go to David and Joanne. If you say, you know what, I can help with tech or worship, go to Megan and the worship team after the gathering. Find me. Find someone. We will help you to use your gift here. We'll give you a link where it has all of the places you can serve, and you can look through them. You can figure out where you want to help out. But today, my challenge to you is, if you are feeling moved by the Holy Spirit to start serving somewhere, even if it's just once a month, this morning, today, do that. And I'll say, the more that we build this culture, the more that we have all hands on deck, our whole church using their gifts to build up the body, the more we'll see believers encouraged, we'll see our church grow, we'll see new people welcomed, and they'll see the perfect example of the love of Christ lived out. That is when we'll see amazing things happen here. Let's pray, and we'll finish. So, Lord, we love you. And I thank you for this morning. And I thank you for the blessing to be able to preach your word and to preach your gospel. And I ask right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would put it within the hearts of all of us to encourage us and lead us to find a place where we can serve and use our gifts. Maybe it's just once a month. Maybe it's just one area, wherever it is, Lord. Help us to be a church that uses our gifts to build up one another, to love our community, and to push forward the kingdom. I ask for protection against any false thinking. Any false thinking that leads people to say, I don't have something to offer. I don't have a way to help out other people or to show them love. Lord, we know that you have gifted every single person. And every person is needed for us to function the way that we're supposed to function. Bless our work, Lord. Help us to share your love with this community. God, we love you, praise you. And we ask this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.